Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Connecting Women in Insurance with me, your host Julie. This podcast is designed to highlight the journeys of amazing women throughout the insurance industry. If you haven't already, please like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. This will help us grow and bring you new and exciting episodes in the future. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Hey everyone, joining me today is Ms. Leslie Sims. She is partner at the law firm of Rubinson Sims. Thank you for joining me today, Leslie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me a little bit about what you do there on a daily basis.
Okay. So I am currently one of the managing partners here at Rubinson Sims. So that means I handle everything from supervising the people to managing a caseload of my own day to day. I am the lead trial attorney for most of our cases. So when something does go to trial, I am first chair on probably 99% of those trials. And we handle first party property insurance defense cases.
Okay. And how does that work out with home?
I'm also a wife and a mother of two beautiful girls, 10 and 3 years old. And it is
an incredibly, ages.
Oh my gosh, yes. They are totally different, but both really, really fun. And it is a constant balancing act and constant juggling of work and school projects and swim and gymnastics and all of that. So I'm very, very lucky. I have a really good partner who is as flexible, whether he wants to or not. He is incredibly flexible. A lot with pickups and drop-offs and all of that.
That's awesome. And I tell you, you know, people will tell you, oh, just wait till they get here. You're going to whatever. And it's kind of negative. But I have two daughters. And they were 2.5 years apart. So it wasn't as large of an age difference. But still, I'm telling you, my neighbor said it best when he told me. He says, you know, every stage, every new stage is wonderful. And you kind of miss the old stage a little.
Yeah.
But it's new and it's fun. And my girls, I swear, it was just better every year. I could not have been more blessed. I mean, literally, when I grow up, I want to be like them. Like, they are amazing young women. And, but, you know, it was just fun. Like, I didn't, it wasn't the horrible teens or the terrible twos. I mean, every kid has their moments, but I was really blessed. I just so enjoy it because I tell you, it goes by so fast. So fast.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you blink.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what happened? Why? How are you in your 20s and I'm still 40? I mean, but yeah, those are great ages. So much fun and so much to do. And they're very active.
Yes, both of them are incredibly active, and like I said, it's a constant juggling. We just came off of summer break where I fully overcommitted as far as summer camp go. So, you know, my oldest one had the summer of her life. Meanwhile, I'm doing a mediation from the waiting room at art camp, and I'm, you know, taking phone calls on the way to fishing camp. But it was definitely.
But you know what? That is awesome that the position you're in affords you that.
Absolutely.
That is really great. Anyway.
And I tell you, it's one of the best things, I think, that has come out of COVID, as crazy as that is to say. I think the ability for us to work across the board remotely.
Right.
To do things via Zoom, to do more things over the phone, and to have those virtual meetings, it's really... like, it has made all the difference in the world as far as my work-life balance goes, because I can do that. You know, I can sit, you know, at the table at gymnastics and watch my daughter and finish up work. And I can, you know, I have that flexibility now, whereas, you know, just 5 years ago, there's no way. It just wasn't possible. So, you know.
That's nice.
Yeah, for sure.
So I ask everyone this. What made you decide on a career in insurance? I know you do law, but you know, not everybody, I mean, you think law, you think, you know, what you see on TV, but you don't always think insurance, right?
Right.
And insurance sounds dull, but honestly, there's a lot of it that's very interesting. So how did you end up in insurance? Where did you begin?
So I, growing up, I had always wanted to be an attorney. Since I was very, very little, that's what I wanted to do. And I wanted to be a prosecutor. I wanted to put the bad guys in jail,
right,
the voice for the victims, you know, all of that. As things do, they never kind of turn out how you expect them to. I was born and raised in Virginia. My entire family is still in Virginia. I went to undergraduate at George Mason University, which is right outside of Washington, D.C. And then I started applying to law schools, and my LSAT scores were not very great. In spite of, you know, I had a great resume. I worked all through college.
Mm-hmm.
My GPA was 3.8. You know, I had good grades. My LSATs weren't good. And so I started working in the IT field for a year and a half, at which point I was like, no, I got to do this. Let's go to law school. I found a very small bottom tier law school in South Florida that accepted me, and they gave me a scholarship.
Well, there you go.
So I went to St. Thomas University for law school. I did very well. I was able to kind of mitigate my student loans by the scholarship. I worked all through law school. The plan was to always go back to Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And then I met my husband. So I'm still here now, 19 years later, still in South Florida. When I graduated law school, I did go work for the state attorney's office in Broward County. Actually, I worked there for 6 years.
Nice.
And it was everything I thought it was going to be. You know, it's exciting. It's trial. By the time I left, I was doing firearms cases, you know, shooting blood and guts and guns and pointing guns at a jury. You know, I mean, really, like, I was law and order. But after 6 years at that office, we had just bought a house. I had just had my oldest daughter. And I was making less than $60,000 a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I had the great fortune of marrying for love and not money.
Right.
And so I got to a point where in my career, it just wasn't fair to my family,
mm-hmm,
for me to have the earning potential of being an attorney and staying in a job that was so underpaid because I liked it.
Right.
So I started applying for jobs, and it was Rubinton and Associates at the time when I applied to work here, and I didn't really understand what insurance defense was, but it was the first job that offered me what I was asking for in salary.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those situations where in the interview he's like, you know, what are you looking to make? And I said a number and they were like, okay. And I was like, oh, I mean, should I have asked for more? But what I found was that with the property insurance, I really had a knack for the construction aspect of it. It was... And I don't know, you know, I grew up in a household, my dad did construction my whole life. And so, you know, there was that rolling around in the back of my head, you know, going to builder showcases and having to visit new driveways on the weekends because dad was excited about them, you know, projects at home and those kind of things. But it really, really had a knack for the construction and I really enjoyed it. And so what kind of was... you know, we'll see how this works out opportunity, turned into what now, you know, I've been here since March of 2017. I started at Rubinton and Associates, kind of figuring out property insurance. And now, like I said, I've worked, you know, I'm a named partner now. I manage people, and I do everything from litigating cases to doing coverage opinions and consulting with insurance companies about policy language and adjusting things. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it really has become something that is interesting and that I do enjoy. And like I said, the construction part of it is really where I think I found my groove.
Right.
And so to answer your question, I didn't really choose insurance. Mm-hmm. I think insurance chose me.
Right.
But I really have come to enjoy it and really have come to have an appreciation for the intricacies of it. And like I said, really that construction aspect is really what I like.
Right. That's really cool, though, that you end up in an area that your childhood...
Yeah.
You know, your childhood experiences with your dad help you out. You know, that's kind of neat. My my granddad actually sold insurance door to door back when they did that. And I remember him telling me stories, but I never thought insurance, you know. But you're right. I mean, it's funny how things from your childhood kind of influence whether you realize it or not. That's pretty cool. So... I do have a question that sparked me. What has been, and I know you can't give specifics, I'm not asking for specifics, but what has been maybe the most interesting case you've dealt with in insurance? Because what you came from sounded extremely exciting, just very exciting. So what is the one case that maybe piqued your interest the most or really just you found fascinating?
As crazy as maybe it sounds, we had a raccoon case. And had a raccoon case.
I love it.
Right. And it's been my favorite by far. Because it has I know.
That's awesome. Because raccoons are just
raccoons. Weird. It's definitely the raccoons. But there's certain exceptions in insurance policies for vermin and rodent exposure and stuff. And it turns out raccoons are neither of those. Did you know? I had to do a whole bunch of research. Raccoons are not rodents.
Right.
And so they're not excluded under your insurance policy. We actually had to pay that. But in this case, there were so many levels. So first I had to figure out if rodents themselves are covered. So then I had to do all this research about what a raccoon is, and I was very excited. And then the company that did the removal, like the trap, because you can't, you have to trap them and remove them and all that kind of stuff. So then I'm doing all this research about how they figured out how to trap them, and that raccoons, you know, they use the bathroom in one area and they nest in another area. They're very sophisticated, which mm-hmm. also was very interesting. But then the company that did all the removal, they went out of business. So they go out of business before the lawsuit is filed. And so the insured had paid part of the bills, but they hadn't paid all of them, and they were looking to be reimbursed, and the company's looking to be reimbursed, but what do I do with a company that's been dissolved? And so there was another level of stuff that I had never dealt with before. So far, the raccoon case is top-notch. And then when it comes to rebuilding and stuff, you can't just clean it up. There's hazmat stuff with all of the stuff coming from the raccoons, and it has to reach a certain grade, and it has to be approved, and you have to have permits and all kinds of stuff.
Wow. So what did the raccoons do?
So they came in through a vent in these people's attic and basically made nests. They had their little potty area, and they had where they had their babies, and they were living in these people's attic in the insulation. For years.
Wow.
And how the people figured it out is the area where they were using the restroom started leaking into their kitchen, and they thought they had a roof leak. So they call somebody out to look at the roof, and they're like, no, the roof's fine. So when this guy comes to look at the roof, he goes into the attic to try to see if there's something, like a vent or something that's not sealed, and there's a whole family of raccoons in there. So... Imagine you're just a roofer and you're like, well, let me check your attic.
That's awesome. Well, I live on a farm, so whenever we see handprints, we're pretty sure if it's small, it's a raccoon. If it's large, it's a bear. But you know. Oh. Yeah. But it's small. Yeah, raccoons are they're interesting and they're very resourceful little things.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And they very can... organized. Who knew?
They really are. They're funny. That's hysterical. I love that.
That's my favorite case.
that's just awesome. Okay, so in all these years of your career and things you've done, did you ever make a decision or a mistake and you thought, okay, that's the end of my career, that's the end of my job, I'm fired, but instead you learned a really valuable lesson that helped you further down the road. You look back on that and think, man, that was a huge lesson and I'm glad I went through that.
Oh yeah. So my partner's probably going to kill me for sharing this, but but it's a good story. So in criminal law, when you take depositions, the only person that can be in the room are the attorneys and the person that's being deposed.
Right.
Civil is very different. The plaintiff in the case can always be present for the depositions, no matter what. And then if there are two plaintiffs, like a husband and wife, they can both be present.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody told me that when I came from criminal to civil. So I have these depositions set, and it's of a husband and wife. And they both show up, and I'm supposed to take the husband's deposition at 10 and the wife's deposition at 1 p.m. But they both come in, they both sit down. And I was like, I'm sorry, ma'am. You need to leave. I'm taking your husband's deposition. And she was all confused, and the attorney was all confused. And I was like, you both can't be in here. You will hear his testimony. You could change your own. You could just going through. And I'm like, the rules are very clear that you cannot be in here. I mean, I was a very certain accusatory. I was aggressive. Ma'am, you have to leave. And so she did. She got up and she sat in like the waiting room and did, and we finished the deposition. And then she came in and I did her deposition. We finished up. And afterwards, the attorney was like, you know, you're wrong. And I was like, you're wrong. I know the rules. Like, so he calls my partner and was like, hey, your attorney's an idiot. You should probably have a conversation with her about the rules. And so I come back to the office and he pulls me into his office and he was like, did you kick a plaintiff out of a deposition this morning? And I was like, yeah, can you believe it? These two morons were trying to sit in this deposition together. Can you? And this attorney told me I was wrong. I'm not wrong. And he was like, oh, yeah, you're wrong. And that you can't do, they could move for sanctions against, like that's, you can't do that. That's not at all allowed. And I was like, oh my God. It was fine. The attorney was nice about it. We've laughed about it since. But I was very certain that they were going to move for sanctions, that I was going to like, there was going to be malpractice because I was so rude to these people. You know, my reputation was this moron's going to yell at you about something that's not true. but looking back, you know, fake it till you make it is really the the lesson from that. You know what I mean? I think, you know, nobody knows what they're doing. And if you're aggressive enough, they just listen to you. So, yeah, that's probably the biggest mistake I've made is just really asserting myself and calling everybody an idiot and telling everyone I knew the rules when I was very, 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 very blatantly wrong.
So maybe you learned a little lesson in humility.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. For sure.
Or a big lesson.
I was saying it with my chest. I mean, just full chest. No, ma'am, you cannot be in here. This is against the rule. No, I was totally wrong.
Well, you know, given your background, I could see where you would need to be kind of like that because of maybe people that you dealt with didn't listen well.
Right, these two poor people who had a leak under their sink in the kitchen. And I'm like, maybe I could have dialed it back a little.
I Yeah, we've all been there. I mean, seriously. Yeah, we've all been there. But that is a good lesson because, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Because I'm sure you now check to make sure you're right before you say you're right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I've learned that one, too. That was good. Okay, so who was or is the most influential person in your life, personal life or career, or and or career, and why?
Oh, that's tough. So I, you know, like I said, you know, I, growing up, you know, my dad was in construction, worked for a concrete construction company, started driving a concrete truck and worked his way up to being, a regional sales manager, mm-hmm. took enough classes to have a degree equivalent in concrete construction engineering. And I think that it's not only has that, you know, greatly contributed to my construction knowledge and really allowed me to be as successful in the insurance industry as I have, that kind of perseverance and that kind of, you know, loyalty. You don't have to come from, you know, great beginnings to be able to have great results. And you don't have to, you know, you don't have to be given those things. You can build it, you know, on your own. And that's, you know, I think that really both in my career and my personal life, you know, I've kept that with me. You know, my parents, I come from humble beginnings. My dad worked in construction. My mom was a dental hygienist. I moved to Florida. I didn't know anybody. Like I said, they're all still in Virginia. Everything I've built down here, I have built from the ground up. Nobody knew me. Nobody knows my name. And so, you know, without that kind of push and that kind of example that my dad had set for me, there's no way I would have been able to accomplish any of this.
Right. That's an awesome thing to say about your dad.
Yeah, for sure.
Not everybody has a great dad like that. So you're very blessed.
Lucky. Yeah, absolutely.
And that, not to take away from your mom. But.
No. And she's amazing. And she's, you know, I lost my dad in 2015.
I'm so sorry.
And my mom has still been there and she's still around. She's a huge influence in my kids' life, even though she's far away. And,
right.
You know, she is an amazing woman also. So
but that,
I'm very
that's
lucky.
Pretty neat that he did that. And I agree with you. You don't have to start from great beginnings to achieve greatness.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what advice would you give to women listening, or men, because both listen, but what advice would you give to those listening who want to move forward in their careers, no matter the industry? Maybe they've hit a hiccup or whatever, but what advice would you give?
Ask questions to everyone. The bulk of my success has been the fact that I haven't paid attention to people's titles when talking to them.
Nice.
At networking events, in court, at depositions, during inspections for homes. I ask a million questions of everybody. I have gotten more advice and more information because I haven't been scared to ask. I haven't been intimidated to talk to anybody. I've talked to anybody. And I think if you can put titles aside and just show interest and just ask those questions, people appreciate it and people respond really well to that. And I think that's the biggest piece of advice. Ask questions to everyone. And sometimes when you don't even, you may feel like you're overstepping because you didn't realize how important somebody was that you were talking to. That in my life has created, you know, great mentorships for me. I've overstepped and talked to a judge at an event, didn't realize I was talking to a judge. And it turned into, you know, like I said, you know, a great mentorship. So, you know, if you can just put all that aside and ask questions of everybody.
Okay. Yeah, I have noticed that you're right. The titles don't always matter. And 9 times out of 10, they were in the position you're in now or something similar and they moved their way up. So they're generally speaking, people are nice and will be glad to give you advice. So that's excellent advice. I love that. Okay, so we're gonna go ahead. Oh, okay. We're gonna do some quick questions, and these are fun, just off the top of your head. So, what is your favorite hobby or pastime?
The beach. Going to the beach. We'll say that.
That's a good one. There's no right or wrong, by the way.
I don't have a lot of free time. So hobbies are hard. I don't know. I like to go to the beach.
No, that's good. Okay, so if you were, now probably office more than kitchen, but if you were a kitchen or an office supply, one of the two, which one would you be and why?
Tongs.
Why is that?
I feel like they are the most useful kitchen tool. You can pick stuff up, you can flip stuff over, you can serve stuff with it. They're always involved. You always need a good pair of tongs.
There you go. That's a good one. I wouldn't have thought that. But that is excellent. Okay. So what is your biggest pet peeve?
People that are late. Oh, I hate it.
I'm just telling you, I was that way until my divorce. And then it was just like, I'm not really in a hurry anymore. just saying. If given a chance, what job would you love to try? No matter what it is, what would you like to try?
I would love to be a chef.
Really? Do you cook a lot?
I do. It's my favorite way to unwind, because it requires some like mental stuff, but it's not really pressing. Mm-hmm. Like if I won the lottery, I would take cooking classes.
What's your favorite dish to make?
I make a really good smothered chicken thigh.
Oh, I have to get the recipe.
Good mushroom gravy.
Oh, I love mushrooms. Okay. If you could master any language, what would it be? Like if you Spanish. Instantly master it.
Spanish.
Really?
I live in South Florida and
it would help.
I am certainly handicapped down here. Spanish.
Okay. And one more.
Okay.
Let me see. Okay. If you could have any superpower, and it has to be kind of pointless, what would it be?
I would be super fast.
Like
the Flash. Like super fast. I would be the Flash.
I could see that.
Right? I would never be late. I could go everywhere. I could
and
see everything.
Cape.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And wear a cape.
He does wear a cape, right? Or does he?
I think so.
I don't know.
Fancy goggles.
Ooh.
Right? Yeah, the Flash for sure.
Well, you know, if you ever want to just pretend, I'll get you a cape and put the goggles on. You can drive real fast with a lawnmower on my 5 acres.
Add that to the back of the podcast. Keep watching me.
That's okay. They talk about me, so it's fine. Okay, so your partner now, and yes. How long have you been partner?
Oof. So I was named a junior partner in 2019.
Okay.
And then moved into an equity partner in name and management in 2021.
You know, that's really impressive because you started there in 17, right? March 17?
Yeah.
That's extremely impressive.
Well,
that says
you.
A lot for you and your, I mean, we've had fun and all, but that says a lot for you and your work ethic.
Thank you. I really
I'm impressed.
Appreciate it.
That's
Thank
really
you.
Good. So what, and I know this is kind of a new, being partner is newish.
Yes.
So, but what direction do you think the next leg of your journey will take you personally and or professionally? Personally and professionally, like I know partner, I don't think you can go up from that, can you?
No, but I would like to continue to grow the law firm. We were a 7-attorney law firm when I started. I've doubled that, or we, because it's not just me. We've doubled that since I've started. I would like to continue to grow. We've started doing business. We do business in Florida. We've also started recently doing business in Texas, so I would like to grow that a little bit. Yeah, and so I think, you know, while in title, there's not really anywhere to go, but I think as far as the firm goes, I would like to grow it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, I don't know how soon it'll be, but eventually take kind of a step back from actually litigating cases and doing, you know, the day-to-day on the cases to be a more managerial role. Then I can, maybe my work-life balance gets a little better.
Right. I think that would be good. That's a good plan. Like, yeah. I like that.
What's the plan? We'll see. Plans are tough sometimes, but that's what
they
it is.
They are. They are. But they give you kind of an idea of where to go.
Right. A direction, maybe not a path.
Right. So as we come to a close, do you have any final remarks for anyone listening? Is there, if there's one takeaway, what would it be?
As silly as it was before when I said it, I really think in any industry, in any profession, you kind of have to fake it until you make it. If you smile and you are confident, people will follow you. Mm-hmm. And then you can quietly do the research on the side so that you make sure that you're right.
Yeah, that's a good one.
When you're saying right. Stuff. But I think, you know, really, like, that's, you know, that a smile and confidence takes you way further than you can ever imagine.
It really does. Because a smile, having a grimace on your face, people don't necessarily want to work with you, or they think you're mad all the time, or you're not friendly when you really are. Maybe you're just thinking, you know.
Right.
I mean, seriously, I had a boss one time be like, Julie, I'm gonna need you to smile. People are scared of you. And I'm like, I'm thinking. And he's like,
I've been told that.
Think with a smile. And I'm like, you know, he's like, not that smile. So I get it. But yes, you're right. You know, confidence takes you
everything.
A long way. Yes, it does. Yeah. Not arrogance, but confidence.
Yep. Yeah.
I love it. Well, Leslie, I have enjoyed this so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to do this with me.
Thank you.